The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
The pitch to Altuve. He swings and lines one into right center field. That's going to be a third straight hit. Hustling over to cut it off is Garcia. He does. In to score is Springer. Around the third, Brantley. Altuve is aboard. Three straight hits for Houston to start the first inning, and they have taken a 1-0 lead. Here's the pitch. Bregman lines this one toward the gap in right center field. That's going to get down. One, two, three hops up against the wall. In to score Brantley. Right behind him, Altuve. He'll score. Three nothing Astros on the Alex Bregman double. Infield still in for the Rays. The 0-1 pitch is a curve grounded past the dive of Wendell into left field. Another Astros hit. Bregman will score. And Yuli Gurriel takes advantage of that drawn in infield. 4-0 Houston in the first inning. The pitch. Altuve drills one to deep left center field. This one on its way. It is gone. Two down in the ninth. 1-2 the count. Osuna pitches. Choi strikes out swinging. And the Houston Astros have survived a great test and a terrific challenge from the Tampa Bay Rays. And they advance to their third straight American League Championship Series. And we are going to get a showdown of two powerhouse teams. The Yankees and the Astros will meet as the Astros celebrate on the field. Final score 6-1 as they advance and end the season for the Tampa Bay Rays. What a win and what a series.
Sports, 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 sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Well, we're going to get the matchup we were hoping for. That was kind of easy last night. Man, a lot to get to. Let's do this. It's a Friday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
It's Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody looking forward to the weekend. Friday. Getting down on Friday. Everybody looking forward to the weekend. Partying. Fun. Looking forward to the weekend.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for a Friday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart. Aaron Rabel, the Voldemort. If you want to get in, 713-780-ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. You can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. Send a message. If Aaron likes it, he'll read it. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A-J is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show. You know the number for that. You can also watch us on Twitch today because we're back in studio after our trip to Beaumont yesterday. And it's a Friday. No nonsense, man. We're here for 3 hours. Let's have some fun. Let's get into the good stuff. Your Astros got it done. Give you a little praise here for a second?
Please. Thank you.
For having the game on our station. Because I got to hear quite a bit of it last night. Because there was an accident on I-10 right at Bucky's on the way back. I'm cruising, man. I'm going to get home record time. I'm flying. Feeling good about life. Can't wait to get home and start drinking beer. Dead stop for 45 minutes.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yep, that sucked. But I got to hear a lot of the broadcast, a lot more of the broadcast than I intended to hear. And that pairing is probably the best broadcast pairing I've heard do Astros games nationally or locally.
Awesome.
So good job, Hoffman.
Thank you, sir.
But having said that, game kind of went how I suggested it might. They were going to get some runs early, and then once they did, then they just kind of coast. I mean, it was pretty boring from the second inning until the eighth.
Yeah, pretty much. It was, you know, like I said, if they got ahead early, it seemed like it was going to go their way. If they wouldn't have scored early, I didn't think it would. Apparently, how much have you read about the pitch tipping
scandal. Because I missed so much of actually watching the game, I pretty much watched MLB Network for about an hour and a half after to catch as many highlights as possible. And, of course, that was a big topic. And it was pretty obvious to me that they had picked up that he was tipping pitches. And, you know, and they're showing it. ESPN was doing it and MLB Network. They were showing his hands were down when he was throwing a curve.
Yeah.
And they were up when he was throwing a fastball. Now, if I'm the Astros, now, in all fairness, even if you know what's coming, the guy's throwing 98 miles an hour, it's still not like you can guide the pitch out there and, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still hard to hit. And plus, those curveballs are still pretty tough, too. But if I had picked up on that, I'm damn sure not. And I'm not doing an Alex Bregman and going up and showing Carlos Correa publicly. It's like picking up a guy's tell in poker. You keep that as quiet as possible.
I don't.
You beat him to death as many times as you can.
Yeah.
And, of course, Correa knew it. He couldn't do anything.
I don't know where it became word that was cheating in some way.
Who said that?
I mean, that's what Twitter was going
through. Well, Twitter can suck my... But yeah, that's silly. That's not cheating.
It's not cheating. It's not cheating. I'm a big believer in as long as you're not using any kind of technology.
Yeah, no, like you got drones flying over and picking up signs and
that's
and,
different.
Yeah.
But if you're that sloppy that you're tipping your pitches, that's on you. If you're that sloppy that you're getting your signs stolen, that's on you. I don't think that any of that stuff is cheating. And someone will say, well, they watched film.
That's good film
that's
study.
That's preparing for your opponent.
Yeah.
That's not cheating.
I'm going to do my Seinfeld. Who are these people?
That's being ready.
I mean, who the hell says that's cheating? If you think that's cheating, you're a dumb. I'm sorry. That's good scouting, man. So.
Well, yeah. Either way, it was, like you said, after the first inning, things slowed down. And I think Tyler Glasnow figured out that...
Yeah, he started pitching from the windup.
Yeah, he figured out that he was tipping his pitches, and he was like, okay, I gotta do something here.
That's the
thing.
But
then the damage was done, and it wasn't going back.
What did Mike McDee say? You figure out a guy's tell, you don't...
Sorry, man.
I would have
let him hang himself.
Yeah, I think that they were like little kids with a secret, and that was the problem. If they just left it alone... And I think they could have gotten a few more runs off of him.
I think if they would have gotten any more runs off of him, he would have been taken out of the game.
Probably so. Probably.
And honestly, when he came out in the second inning, he looked like a different guy. Really, after the runs finished scoring, he looked like a different guy altogether. They couldn't really get to him after that. And then he was in a rhythm, and then the Rays took him out, which I thought was odd, too. But
yeah, it's funny. You either take him out.
You should have taken
right
him out
away.
In the first inning or let him keep going. Yeah.
And now I'm not going to criticize him too much because
Snell pitched well.
All the guys that they brought in pitched well until Pagan. And in that case, that's the other thing that kind of I was saying all along. If you keep doing these bullpen games, you can do that for a 5-game series. You can't do it for a 7-game series because at some point they're going to get to those guys. And they did get to Pagan a little bit late, and that was pretty much it. But good win for the Astros. And now you get the Yankees, which is what you wanted.
Well, that's what we've been expecting. By the way, another block on Twitter last night.
Really?
I said, why didn't we just fast forward the last 120 games of the season? We all knew it was going to be Yankees Astros all along, which we've been saying for a while. Those are the two teams.
Right.
They've been on this collision course. The guy was like, I guess that's why you were preaching to take +250 on the Rays tonight. I was like, well, maybe you don't understand how math and implied odds work, but I don't bet baseball anymore. I've quit that habit a long time ago. I kicked it.
Well,
that's what I like to call it.
Can I just say, didn't I say if you're an Astros fan, do this so you won't feel bad if they lose?
That's a good way to do it.
That was the whole point of it. Plus, the number was good value. There is such a thing as value in gambling.
And when I did bet baseball, you know what I never did? Bet favorites.
Yeah.
Because it's long term, it's not a way to make money.
No.
So he got salty about it, and he's no longer on my timeline.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's funny because he had
a scarf in his picture in his timeline. So.
Well, there, you don't want that guy following you. So I bet a couple hundred on the Rays last night for that reason. If the Astros lost, I'd have some money. But I bet a lot more on my hockey over that I hit.
Well, congratulations.
You guys about, yes.
Well, and now
4-1. Mean, 4-1 on hockey.
You just basically, it was the game last night was a pay-per-view for you.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. No, I mean, that was the whole plan. Was like, you know what? If they lose, at least I'm going to have some money out of it. And if they don't, great. I'll gladly sacrifice two bills for the Astros to win. And I said my hockey play was a lot more than that, so that it all worked out great. But well, I don't know why people, I don't know. Is this just a Friday where people don't get it? I mean, oh, it's cheating? Really? Who's saying it's cheating? I never saw any of that. I have to admit. They brought it up briefly on the post game on Fox that, nope, not cheating. And that was the end of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I wish I'd seen some of these tweets because, yeah, I tried to stay off Twitter after the game just because, you know, and frankly, I was off Twitter the whole time because I was driving most of the way. And but I stayed off afterwards because I was just trying to catch up on the game and see what I missed and see some of the interviews and you know that. So I didn't really see what people were saying. I just assumed everybody was. Plus, I can't deal with Astros Twitter anymore.
Yeah,
good or bad Astros Twitter.
So TB pitcher was tipping pitches or being read, and of course explains first inning speculation. Astros are cheating at home makes sense. That's not cheating. I'm sorry.
Oh. How is that cheating?
There's people who think that stealing signs is cheating, too. I don't. Like, don't be so obvious with your signs if that's the case. I'm sorry. You got to figure out, like...
This is no difference in figuring out what a defense is going to do in football. If you know the blitz is coming because a guy starts creeping to the line too much. You're not going to tell them, hey, we know the blitz is coming. What the hell?
It's very odd.
I mean, this isn't even stealing signs. I mean, stealing signs, I'll hear an argument on it, although I don't buy it. But picking up a guy tipping pitches is good scouting and good baseball. And if you're not trying to do that, you're a moron.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you're basically that's probably I would say it's probably lame ass Rays fan, but they don't have any fans.
I think it's mostly Yankee fan who's bringing this up.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because
I think there was some Tampa fan, but I think it's also some Yankee fan. But
see, no, I don't think it was Tampa fan because all three of them were at the game last night because they showed them.
Now, when the when the Astros got caught cheating a couple years ago, or was it last year when they got caught with the guy in the camera well?
That's cheating.
That's cheating.
Yeah.
So
you should be reprimanded strongly for that.
Now, to be fair. Maybe the Astros deserve a little extra scrutiny because of that. But
this isn't
pitches,
that. No.
This doesn't even fall into that category.
Well, especially when you've got all these media outlets figuring it out, too.
Yeah.
And the Rays figured it out. So, and once they did, he adjusted and he pitched pretty well. Yeah, I don't think that's cheating in any way, shape, or form. I just think it's good scouting and, you know, good for them to figure that out.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chad in Spring says, did you hear Big Poppy talk about cheating? I kept wondering why he kept saying a word I can't say on air. It did sound... I thought he said that, too. I said, what? You can't... Do you? Can we actually play it? Because I don't know, man. I'm like, can he say that?
I played it during The Usual Suspects.
Okay, well, go ahead. Yeah. Sergio brings up a great point. Wasn't you Darvish tipping pitches, too? There was no cheating accusations there. No. And there's not here. I mean, anybody who's doing that is a dumb. Go ahead.
Listen... Whoever don't know much about the inside of part of baseball might call this cheating. It's not cheating, people. It's me paying attention and using every single element that I have to beat you. That's what the Houston Astros did tonight.
Yeah.
It's not cheating.
Yeah. What are you supposed to do if the pitcher's tipping his pitches? Turn your head and not take advantage?
Yeah.
No, that's a... But that and yeah, 713 says the same thing I said at the top of the show. It's like catching a poker tail. That's what you're trying to do.
Well, like if Glasnow had, instead of using his glove, he just stuck his finger out to the catcher and gone one here or two, and then he threw that exact pitch. Like, would that be cheating? I don't know.
Yeah, well,
the pitchers are warned from a young age to try and make everything look the same. So if you can't do it. That's on you. Like the guys that deal with the pitchers on my youth team, They tell the make sure everything looks the same. If you're throwing a changeup, a curveball,
and you're
fastball.
Teaching and you're teaching them that as kids, because a lot of times maybe their arm angle looks different, and you can tell that. So you're coaching
you
them not to do that.
Everything to be the same on every pitch,
so and especially at that age, you're trying to learn to do that.
Yeah.
Well, hey, if you enjoyed playing that hockey over last night, you probably did it on mybookie.ag. And there's college football tonight. You got the NLCS cranking up. You got all kinds of great college football, NFL, whatever you want to bet on this weekend. Well, you know where to bet, mybookie.ag. And I might have another hockey play for the weekend. If so, I will let you know. And you can play it on mybookie. If you sign up today, they're going to double your first deposit. And they've got all kinds of great sign-up offers for you. Just use promo code radio, and you'll get that exclusive one. Mybookie.ag, promo code radio. The good thing is when you win, they actually pay. Because this is a problem I've had with a lot of online books in the past is, you know, you get the runaround. It's almost impossible to get your money out. They want you doing Bitcoin, all this kind of stuff. Listen, MyBookie pays, and nobody pays out faster. So when you win, you get your money. And that's what I like, because I'm going to get my money for my little hockey play last night. Once again, promo code radio to get your exclusive offer. MyBookie.ag, promo code radio. Play, win, get paid. MyBookie. Need to know your place, because it's about to get heavy.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. Happy turtleneck weather, everyone.
Oh, I know you're excited.
I am excited. It's the first chance I've had to wear a turtleneck. Very, very happy. It caught me a little bit by surprise, though, because I went to the gym for a couple hours today, and I went in before it started cooling off, and when I came out, I was in short sleeves. I was like, whoa, hey, this is nice. About 20 degrees cooler. So I could live with this. Like, whatever it was, about 1 o'clock, 1:30 today, that's what temperature I want all the time.
I think it was like in the high 60s.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's what we need every day. This will probably last like 2 days, and it'll be 100 again. So, yeah, and a lot of people are still talking about this. It's kind of so would have been cheating if Glasnow. I get him and Jeff Luhnow confused so much for some reason, and I mispronounce him half the time. It is Glasnow.
Glasnow.
Yeah, he's if he had snapped at what was going on and flipped the pitches on the Astros while continuing the same hand glove locations, like if he'd thrown the fastball from down low,
would that have been cheating?
No. I mean, as part of pitching is deception, correct?
How long do you think the Astros would have run with that idea if they wouldn't have gotten to him in the first inning? Like, if they had been all mixed up on it, would they have just abandoned any thought about it after the first?
No, I think they would have stuck with it as long as he was out there.
Yeah.
It almost would have been better if they had chipped away as opposed to everybody hitting right off the bat and taking pitches that you're like, whoa.
Although you explode for four runs in the first, you're always going to take that option.
Yeah, if you get four runs knowing you got Garrett Cole out there, who, by the way, was terrific again, then you probably do it. It was kind of Bregman, though, who gave up the tell.
When
he didn't even move the bat.
Basically spit on curveballs. He's like, nah, I ain't swinging at that junk.
And then he hit a curveball. What the hell?
I don't know. It's pop-up ad.
Man, so all the games will be on the station, right? So
yeah, all the ALCS games.
And so you'll get to hear Yankees-Astros.
The only exception would be if next Saturday's game interferes with Aggie football, which, knock on wood, it shouldn't.
Yeah. So it'll probably be right after Aggie-Alabama, right?
Yes.
Cool. Man, that's a good day to just stay in and watch sport.
It's a good sport match day.
Really, the whole weekend.
It's
a great weekend to stay in and watch sport.
Hey, can we get some dust in the wind going? Aaron, I've got bad news. Born August 2019,
Okay.
Died October 2019.
It was July.
It was July to October.
It was a preemie.
Man. So they almost got 3 months. July 22nd to October 11th, 2019. The Clinton Camel Show.
Is it the whole show or is it just Camel?
Well, it's no longer I don't think they're going to keep calling it the Clinton Camel Show.
It's really Clint Show. I mean,
well, apparently that's what they're going to do now is the Baytown Badass is just going to be the one chair, which this is a little inside radio. The one chair is like what Fred does here. He steers the conversation, brings us in and out of break, does all the liner reads, and the two chair is usually a reactionary chair or an opinion chair. And that's a guy who's sort of reacting to things, or in some cases, he's like, that's why you see a lot of athletes in the two chair. You see a lot of comedians in the two chair. Guys who are, you know, who have an intriguing take on certain things. Well, they're just going to go with all football players in that, on that show, apparently. And I think the Baytown Badass is going to be the one chair. And Wade Smith and longtime Texan Cecil Shorts.
Half a season, right? Almost a half a
season. I think he had maybe more than a season. He was just on IR the whole time. So okay. I mean, you get, but that counts.
I personally, I like those guys. But I think that's good luck with that.
Yeah.
And
I'm sad to see Kamla Juice go. I've got to be honest. It was...
Well,
it was such a horrible hire from day one.
There's no way that show's not going to be better with him gone.
Dude, I don't understand why they fired Mike Meltzer, who, you know, like Meltzer doesn't necessarily do my style of radio. But for what he did, he was very a very efficient guy for that role. So they fire him and they bring in this 50-something-year-old dude from Atlanta where he got fired for failing to connect with an audience in Atlanta.
And he was doing NBA stuff, and you're walking into a NFL season.
It's the third sport in this town.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, like the way he talked, he tries to pretend like he's 25. And there's nothing worse than an old guy trying to sound hip when it doesn't work. Now, there's some old guys who can
fake you out. Why are you looking at me?
You don't really try. You don't pretend like you know everything about pop culture. You've just given up on anything that's happened in the last 15 years you don't know anything about.
I know a lot about that. I have a different pop culture than you do.
An older pop culture.
Not necessarily, no. There's some things that you don't pay any attention to that are like extremely
cartoons.
Popular.
Okay, yes. Cartoons. You've got me on cartoons.
I've got you on Rick and Morty big time.
Yes. But it's just an awkward... It's an awkward hire. And I don't know. I don't know the inner workings of the show. I wish I did. I wish I knew, like, because I've heard rumors that they didn't like each other. I wish I knew the real story.
Well,
his
goodbye sure didn't mention the Baytown Badass.
No. I don't know this for a fact. I need someone, and Lamont probably knows better than anyone. I know for the first month or two, or at least for the first month to 6 weeks, that show didn't take any phone calls because they were worried someone would clown on them, basically. And they never responded to any tweets that weren't someone just saying, oh, man, I love the show, which I think they got like four of over the course of the 2.5 months they were on. And they were like, oh, thanks for listening. They'll retweet that. But they had no listener interaction. They didn't talk to listeners. I mean, it was just a really weird show. And now I guess he's going back to Sirius XM Fantasy and NBA Radio, which, okay. Ooh,
I'm sure that's really popular.
Yeah, that's...
NBA Fantasy Radio?
That's how you stay relevant, my man.
Yeah.
But RIP to the Kamla Juice.
Yeah, I listen to them quite a bit.
Tricky Ricky. Hey, Tricky Ricky, what do you think? I think I'm going to go back to Sirius XM. RIP.
Yeah, I don't like to be too critical of people, but he added nothing to that show. I mean, he really did nothing. He just set Clint up and let Clint run. And
he had the easiest job in the world because Clint Stoerner won't shut up. He'll talk for... Kamla would introduce the show, and he'd be like, Baytown Badass, how you doing today? Oh, man, let me tell you. I've been watching football all week. You know I used to play in the NFL. And, I mean, it's just like a 10-minute rant. That's what their show was built on. That was like the strategy. And now it is no more. I don't know why you'd leave that job.
Yeah. Honestly, if I could do that here for what I make, I'd be happy.
His job is to be Ed McMahon on yeah. Carson. It's a, I mean, you just, yes. Every once in a while, just, yeah. Yes. Like, it's the easiest job in the world. Why would you leave it?
Yeah, I kind of like the idea of just, hey, welcome to the Blitz. It's Fred and AJ. AJ, take it from here. You are correct, sir. That'd be pretty easy. Wouldn't have to prep anything. Just, so, AJ, what's on your mind? So, we'll be back right after this. That's pretty much what it was.
He's Hank on Larry Sanders' show.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, now. Hey, now. You just got to laugh. Hey. I mean, that's like his whole job. And you leave that job? No way. There's got to be more to it.
Yeah, I'll see if I can't find out what happened.
You know some inside scoop?
Yeah. And I'll just say, I'm happy to be competing with him, but congratulations to Wade and Cecil. Wade's a good dude. And I only met Cecil playing at the poker tournament with him when I took a bunch of chips off him and found out he had learned to play that afternoon online.
Who's this?
Cecil Shorts.
Oh, okay.
He was one of the celebrities that I was
playing. So you guys are best friends now?
I need
you to end that relationship. That's our enemy now.
He's a really nice guy. Wade Smith's a really nice guy.
Those are our enemies now, Fred.
Well, I'm sure they are, but doesn't mean they're not nice guys. Does that mean they're going to be better than us? I don't think so.
Got to burn them all down.
I don't think so. I think we'll do okay.
Burn them all down.
I think we'll hang in there, AJ. I think we're doing fine. All right, 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Mott said initially they took some calls, but someone went in and told them not to, I guess. But Seth and Sean don't. We don't take a lot of calls either. But we do try to be interactive. And asking for a friend says, I can't stand an old guy who tries to sound young. Leave Barry and Joel alone. Hashtag bully. That's.
Come on.
Oh, man. On the Twitch, Space Ghost, who is a good contributor on the Twitch channel, says, guys, I went on a semi-blind date today. What are the odds a second date is in my favor? When you say semi-blind, does that mean she had an eye patch?
Maybe.
I don't know. I mean, a chick with an eye patch is sexy.
You think so?
Yeah. Remember, what's her name? Daryl Hannah in Kill Bill?
Oh, yeah.
Pretty sexy. Of course, it was Daryl Hannah.
It's just Daryl Hannah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think it's sexy.
All right.
So. All right. Well, I have to tell you about Allied Outdoor Solutions. And guys, now's the time. Now that it's cooled off. Get out there and do some work in your backyard. Maybe you want a custom outdoor kitchen. You can get out there and cook. You want to be outside around your pool. And then you get out there and you realize, oh, man, I don't have a pool. Well, you can go to them and they'll get you one. Or maybe your pool's all messed up. Maybe your deck needs to be redone. Well, guess what? They can do that with the carved stone overlays. And I'm telling you, this stuff is fantastic. You can put, gives you the superior look of real stone on your existing surface for less, 2 times stronger than concrete, and they give you a 7-year warranty. And guess what? If you're worried about money, they'll give you several monthly payment options, even offer 0% financing for up to 18 months. And Best Pick Reports certified each of the last 5 years, and a certified ICIP installer since 2010. I mean, these guys are the best. So save yourself the hassle and expense of tearing everything out and starting over. Get a carved stone overlay. Stop by the Allied Outdoor Solutions showroom on I-10 in the Beltway today, or check out the Carved Stone Projects photo gallery at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. That's AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. Or call for a risk-free estimate at 713-465-0400.
Let's say your kids are bothering you for a basketball goal. Let's say they are saying, no, Dad, we just want to get outside and play. What are you going to do, say no? No, son, play more video games. Don't be that dad. Get your son a hoop. And while you're at it, make sure it's a good hoop. Don't go to the big box store and get some raggedy-ass goal that's going to last 2 years. Let it be a goal they can grow up with and that will last forever. ProDunkHoops.com, that's where you go. They've got the best basketball goals on the planet, the thickest steel, a tempered glass backboard that's so strong that it's, if it breaks or cracks for any reason, they're going to replace it for free. And they've got a design to fit your home, your driveway, your backyard, however you want to set it up. They've got a fully portable one, and they're all adjustable from 10 feet to 5 feet with the turn of a handle. So if you got a little one, he's not going to want to play on a 10-foot goal. He's never going to make any shots. But then when he's grown, he doesn't want to play on a 5-foot goal. It adjusts with your kids, and it's going to last through their entire childhood. Get your new hoops goal today. See it all at ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com, 281-351-9822.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, 713-780-ESPN. I'm not going to have a hockey play tonight, sorry. I was going to be on Anaheim at a plus number, but they're not starting John Gibson tonight. They're starting Ryan Miller. Gibson is off to, he did this last year too, he's just off to a fantastic start. You can't get a puck by him. So, there you go.
Remember when Ryan Miller was like the best?
Yeah, he damn near led America to the to the gold medal, except for that cheating Sidney Crosby.
Shame.
So, we haven't talked a lot about Texans Chiefs this week. And, because there's a lot going on, obviously.
Yeah.
I all along, I kind of thought it'd be a close game. And then for some reason today, I think I've decided, you know what? I mean, Andy Reid just owns Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien is Andy Reid's sex robot. He does whatever he wants to him. And then Bill just says,
we have to coach better. We have to play better. Andy, that hurt. Please mix in a salad.
That's what he is. He's his sex robot. He can do whatever he wants to him.
So here is my analogy that I was thinking of when someone was asking me how this game is going to go. To me, if Patrick Mahomes is hurt, it's a little bit like the big battle scene in Avengers Endgame. If Patrick Mahomes is hurt, you're fighting Thanos without the gauntlet on.
Yeah. Still might lose.
It's and if you know, if the portal doesn't open up and Doctor Strange and Black Panther don't roll through and save the day, there's a good way you could still, everybody could die. But he is vulnerable. Like he's beatable in that situation. Patrick Mahomes fully healthy is Thanos with all the stones. I mean, he just does what he wants. He and especially against the secondary, he will do what he wants. Now Tyreek Hill he's like the power stone. There's one stone that's missing right now, but he's still pretty damn strong. And everyone say all the Texans have to do is play more man coverage with Tyreek Hill, and that's easy to say. You guys don't have the cornerbacks the Texans have. It's easy for national media to say, yeah, just play more man against Patrick Mahomes
because
you'll have more success.
Jonathan Joseph has been so good in man this year.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll work out really well for the Texans. So I don't know. It depends on which Patrick Mahomes shows up to me if the Texans are even in this game or not. Because if Patrick Mahomes is fully healthy, the Chiefs are just way better. You know, that's no knock on the Texans because the Chiefs are way better than almost everybody.
I think, I know it's not going to happen, but in a perfect world, the Texans, if he is healthy, you get out there, you run the football, you have some long drives, keep them off the field, and slow the game down, and that's how you have a chance to win. And I think they'll be able to run the football against the Chiefs. I do. But,
you know, will they run the football against the Chiefs?
And that's the thing. And, yeah, I think that.
Because now you started getting a little buzz about Deshaun Watson playing at an MVP caliber level, which, by the way, no one was talking about Deshaun being the MVP until last week. He had one game.
Nah, it's not true. This is the problem with all you guys, and you do this too.
Okay, tell me.
After the Chargers game, that buzz started. He won Player of the Week over Mahomes, and then he played like garbage,
sucks. Even though he didn't play as well as Mahomes that week, he still won it.
He won it, and he got a buzz.
Was anybody talking about MVP, though?
Yeah. if you were watching the NFL Network and stuff
that's
like
ridiculous.
That.
Look at his stats versus Mahomes' stats through 3 weeks.
Hey, I'm not arguing with you. I'm just telling you that this is what happens. And I, like I said, I think you're as guilty of it as a lot of people. They get all on his jock after that game. Then after the Carolina game, oh, this guy hasn't developed. He's not any good. Then after last week, oh, man, he's an MVP candidate again. You can't react like that every single week. You got to look at it as a body of work. Is he as good as he was last week? Absolutely not. He's not going to put up a perfect passer rating again, maybe ever in his career. But he also wasn't the garbage that everybody wanted to throw him out with after the Carolina game. He played a bad game. And for these guys to make it to the next level and be great.
He's played two good games, two bad games, and one pretty good game. Like,
yeah,
that's not MVP. I just don't get it. He's had two games where he scored zero touchdowns and got a combined sack 10 times in that game.
I'm not at all disagreeing with you. I'm just telling you, this is what happens. Is everybody piles on one way or the other after every week. Ask me about week 10. Because if you're a 5-5 team and he's been on that pattern, you're not in the MVP conversation. You're not even in the Pro Bowl conversation, in my opinion.
But will that affect the way that the Texans play? Now they've got an MVP candidate at quarterback.
What do you mean?
I mean, you know how important MVP is in this town.
Oh, God. No, it's important to the fans.
Oh, okay.
So, no, I mean, honestly, I think if you're talking about MVP after week four, okay, I get it. It's a quarter poll. It's Christian McCaffrey and Patrick Mahomes, and everybody else can just shut up right now.
Well, I think Russell Wilson has a pretty good
But say. If it's going to be a quarterback, I think it's going to be Mahomes.
Okay.
But that's after 4 weeks. And you can sit here and make cases for as many guys as you want because it's meaningless. It's 4 weeks.
Yeah.
But no, I don't think he's in that conversation. But guess what? If he plays two or three more games like he did Sunday, which, let's be honest, I don't know that he's going to do that again. Five touchdowns, no picks, five incompletions. I mean, that was, yeah, he had a fantastic game. Well, Christian McCaffrey's pretty much had a game like that every week so far. Mahomes has had it every week except for one. And even then, he put up good numbers on one ankle. So,
yeah.
And guys, stop bitching about spoilers for in-game. My God.
Oh, can't help you on that one.
Yeah, I feel like I think Deshaun's going to have a good game. I think the Texans are going to play well on offense. I don't think they can keep up with the Chiefs. And in the end, it's going to come down to who do you trust? Even if it's a close game, who do you trust more? And I know Andy Reid has his issues with clock management and game management as well. But I trust Andy Reid a lot more than I do Bill O'Brien. And I trust Patrick Mahomes to put up big numbers more than I trust Deshaun.
Yeah.
Even though that Kansas City defense can be had.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any question.
Well, but the Texans defense can be had.
Well, yeah, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about if you're trying to beat the Chiefs, that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
And you have to keep Mahomes off the field. You have to be able to run the ball. And you have to get physical with Mahomes when he is on the field. And, you know, I think that's the blueprint. I don't know that it works. So, somebody says Zach Greinke is a turd to reporters. Dude is giving Belichick-like press conferences. He's not a turd.
He's a weird dude. He's got anxiety issues.
He really does have anxiety issues. He's very uncomfortable in front of the cameras.
Always been that way.
Yeah, and that's been his whole life. And you know, it's one of those things that there's a lot of jobs where you can be like that, and it doesn't matter. But when you have to go and be public. Then, yeah, I mean, that can't be easy on him. It really can't. It's just part of, and obviously it's part of the job. And, you know, why he has to do interviews, I don't know. Frankly, I guess on the days he pitches, and he's going to pitch tomorrow. And I'm going to throw one other thing out there. I kind of like the fact that Greinke's starting game one.
Why?
I think this thing could work out very well for the Astros. Because if they win game one with Greinke, and he's not going to pitch like he did in his one start off an 11-day layoff for two starts in this series. I don't see. He's going to have a good start at some point. But if you win with Greinke in game one, and now you've got Verlander Cole lined up, you're in really good shape. And wouldn't you rather see Cole in Yankee Stadium than Greinke?
Probably.
So, I mean, I think this could line up very well for him. Now, where it doesn't work
is if you lose the series in five games and you don't get to use Verlander twice. But if you do that, then I don't know that it would have mattered. Verlander and Cole. So I think it could work out.
I'm not, I mean, you're going to pitch them twice in the series anyway.
Everybody's going to pitch twice. And if it goes seven, you're now lined up where they're going to have to beat Verlander and Greinke in six and seven.
Yeah.
I'll take that because you're not expecting to lose the series in five games.
And the real, you know, brass tacks of it is even if Greinke loses both his starts, which I don't think will happen, and Urquidy loses his start, they still have to beat Verlander or Cole at least once. So
that's the thing. If you look
worst case scenario.
If you look at it in an extremely simplistic fashion, which I like to do sometimes, then just win three or four starts with Verlander and Cole, and one Greinke start.
Yeah,
one Greinke or Keedy Greinke. Well, that's it.
And but now, mind you, the Yankees are probably feeling the same way because the Yankees have they've got three pitchers that if they're pitching at their best, are ridiculously good. Now it's just, are they going to pitch at their best? That's kind of the question with Greinke. Which Greinke are you going to get?
Yeah, I think we'll see better than we did the first time.
Like, I'm almost sure we're going to keep getting good Gerrit Cole. That one seems like it's a lock.
But you want to talk about a punch in the nads if that doesn't happen, though. If he goes out and has a bad game.
Now you're in trouble.
Yeah.
But James Paxton at his best is super good. Tanaka at his best is super good. Severino at his best is one of the best guys in the AL last year. So it's, but are any of those guys going to be on top of their game? I don't know.
Well, somebody
against the Astros lineup, just like against the Yankees. That's why this series is so great. I mean, either one of these lineups can make a good pitcher look not that good and probably will at multiple times in this series.
So what do you think is going to happen?
I have no idea. I honestly don't. I think Astros win seven.
I'd like it to go seven. I'd like to see these two teams for seven games.
Because I think they'll need Cole to win both starts for them to beat the Yankees. And if Cole's starting a game seven at home, I can't imagine picking against them.
I would agree. I think if the Yankees starters can pitch to their potential, I like their bullpen better. I'd give them.
Oh, their bullpen's better, unquestionably.
Yeah, but.
And I honestly, this is probably an unpopular opinion.
I heard Barry talking about it. They blew more saves than the Astros did this year.
I think their lineup might be better.
I think that's fair. They strike out more.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they've got, you know, you go look at that lineup, they've got studs up and down, and they've got depth. Now, the depth doesn't mean as much now. And they had so many guys fill in and do great when the big dogs were hurt. But that doesn't matter at this point. It's just going to come down to the fact that you're facing Judge and those guys, and can you beat them? And I think it's just going to be a hell of a series.
And blown saves is fine. That's a stat you want to look at, but to me, there's
Aroldis. Now, I don't know if it's true. I just heard Barry say it, so I'm going on what he said because I'm trusting him.
Aroldis Chapman was the best. He was the best closer in baseball this year. I mean, that's. I don't know. I don't know how many blown saves he had, but that guy was going out there and he was shutting it down when he came in. So, and he ends up with 37 saves, second most in his career. That's a guy that. He's a problem. I don't know who else closed games for the Yankees this year, but Aroldis Chapman's not the kind of guy you want to see in the late innings.
Well, I bet he had a better year than Osuna. And you can't really bet on that on my bookie, but you can bet on everything else. You can bet player props. You can probably bet on who's going to have the better series. Now, if you want to get in on the Astros, you want to bet the Yankees, or if you want to bet the NLCS, or you want to bet football. Tomorrow's a great day in college football. OU Texas, all these games. Well, you know where to get in on it, mybookie.ag. And if you use promo code radio and sign up, they're going to double your first deposit. They're going to give you all kinds of options for your first deposit, but just use promo code radio. You got to go to mybookie.ag, promo code radio. And the good news is when you win, they actually pay you. A lot of these sites don't. And if you go in there, you can get your money out and no problem at all. And that's the best part about it. Nobody pays out faster. I've been taking money out of there now for a couple of years with no problems at all. Use promo code radio to get signed up. If you're already signed up, check your you know, check your email because they send you all kinds of great promos all the time. MyBookie.ag, promo code radio, play, win, get paid. MyBookie.
All right, guys, got to tell you about my good friends at Carbach. It's finally the weekend. You know you're going to go home, you're going to crack a brew, and you're going to have a great time drinking some Carbach. And they've got so many options to choose from. And you might be thinking, yeah, I feel like going out. Okay, cool. Why don't you go to the restaurant? Carbach's restaurant is fantastic, and they've got tons of great beers on the wall, all which pair perfectly with one of the items on the menu. And some of those beers you can only get at the Carbach Tap Room. Check them out, guys. What are you waiting for? So they're open this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, for brunch, so and as well as lunch and dinner. If you're not a brunch guy, that's okay. But to me, if you can say, hey, wife, I'm taking you out to brunch, but you're also going to drink some cool beer, that's a win-win in my book. Foam Hinge coming up November 10th. Tickets available now. Ace Frehley is going to be headlining. CarbachBrewing.com for tickets. Follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for more details on what they got going on with the concert series and the restaurant and the brewery. And then when you're out and about this weekend, ask your bartender to please make it a Carbach.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Ashton says the Texans have been a good chunk of this season playing up and down to competition. Was telling you that won't happen this weekend against the Chiefs. I that's how I thought all along, is it was going to be a close game that they would lose. Unless they prove me wrong. Which we'll see. I can't in good conscience sit here and tell you I think they're going to beat the Chiefs. But I don't. But,
I mean, the Chiefs aren't invincible. That said, I don't think the Chiefs have lost back-to-back home games since like 2015 or something like that.
Yeah.
So that's not great.
No, but I mean, I do think the Texans will play well. But stop this MVP.
But the Chiefs have looked vulnerable. This is now 3 weeks in a row. You know, Baltimore could have easily beat that team. The Lions really could have easily beat. I mean, they should have beat that team.
Yeah.
Now, man, granted, that was a road game, and then the Colts did beat them. But so this team is very, very gettable. It's just, are the Texans the team to do it? And someone says the Colts or the Chiefs' offensive line is banged up. They're going to put hits on Mahomes. I mean, and that's fair. They are banged up, and they probably will get to Mahomes. But Mahomes, despite having a beat-up offensive line, despite being hurt last week, Mahomes has been sacked 7 times this season. 7. Deshaun Watson's been sacked 6 times twice this season, in week 1 and week 4. He's been sacked 18 times season.
No, let's overreact. How many times was he sacked last week, AJ?
0.
Because that's what we're supposed to do. You're just supposed to look at one game.
Last week, and Patrick Mahomes was sacked 4 of his 7 came last week.
And you know what? 2-time AFC player of the week. That makes him an MVP candidate.
Okay. Well, there you go.
No,
I'm not saying the Texans can't beat this team. I think it's actually possible. But to me, if Patrick Mahomes is fully healthy, I don't really think there's anything the Texans can do to stop him. I think their hope is
they'd have to do what they did last week, which is score on every possession but 2. And if you do that, yeah, I think you beat them because I think you'll get 2 stops.
Yeah.
Now, it also depends on how much you run the ball and how much time you take off the clock, because you may not get enough possessions if you do that. So I don't know, man.
Well, it also depends on if you get behind early.
Yeah,
if you're down 10-0 in the first quarter, that running game probably goes out the window.
Right now, and now you have to try and throw with them, and that's not a recipe for success. But I am kind of curious. The Texans have done a much better job on tight ends. I want to see if Kelce kills them like he always does. I think with Gibson out there, he's done a pretty good job. So I'd like to see that matchup. And you know, I don't know that they have the kind of guys out of the backfield that can catch the ball the way they have in the past. And I know McCoy had a big one the other day, but then he fumbled it.
Yeah.
So I think that's an area where you can really get to the Texans. So I'm kind of curious how this is going to go. I'm interested to see.
But you can also get to the Texans deep.
Yeah. Well, anytime, whoever.
It's going to be a matter of Mecole Hardman, guys like that. If those guys are ready to step up, then, you know, I don't really think it matters who he's throwing to. He's going to make some noise, Mahomes. And yes, the Texans have done a better job on tight ends. Travis Kelce is significantly better than any tight end they have or will face.
That anybody has.
Yeah, I mean, he's the best in the league. So it's tough to say that they'll do a good job on him.
No, but I'm curious to see how they do because he always kills them.
Yeah.
And, you know, if he's going to get his yards, but do you slow him down?
You have to hope so. And then, obviously, Tyreek Hill being a quote-unquote game-time decision, that's a huge factor in who I think will win this game. If Tyreek Hill's on the field, I think the Texans are in real trouble.
If he's close to 100% on the field. If he's out there and he's not quite right.
If he's just a decoy, yeah. But if he's able to run at 80%, the Texans are in trouble because they don't have a guy who can just stand with him and go. Like, they don't have that guy on their roster.
Roby's probably the closest guy they have, and we saw what happened when he had to chase him with Denver last year. It didn't work out. No. So, but no, I think it's going to be this. To me, this is another one of those games where, okay, if the Texans go in and win, it will elevate my opinion of them significantly.
Yeah.
But right now, you know, I see is inconsistency. Well, going and winning a game like this would be consistency. Backing it up, not necessarily a win, but how about two good performances on the road? Go 1-1 these next two games, but both games you play well. I'd upgrade you for that, too.
Yeah.
Because there's not going to be any shame if you got there and played great and lose to the Chiefs or to the Colts in Indy.
Well, I mean, at that point, you'd be 4-3, and you'd have the Raiders coming in. And so that you're almost – I don't want to take anything for granted, but you'd be looking at 5-3 at the halfway point. You'd have to feel good about that.
You'd feel great about that. And then we can start looking
at – And the second half of your season is – that second half of the schedule is so much softer than the first half. You know, the real test on that in that second half is the Patriots, obviously. But
well, now everybody's starting to, the Patriots don't look the same thing. They're 6-0.
They don't look the same. They're
6-0. But remember, every year somebody writes off the Patriots about now.
Okay. Well, listen, if you want to be the guy that bets on the Texans to beat the Patriots, good luck to you. That's what I'll say.
I'm not
going to be that guy.
Not either.
But, you know, the Ravens don't look as tough as that, you know, yeah. as they could. The Titans look vulnerable. That's two of your last three games. The Bucks are up and down. So
there's a lot of up and down teams there, though. I could see any one of them playing an up game and beating you.
Yeah.
But
are you going to have – I mean, how many games do you have that are as tough as at Saints?
At Kansas City.
At Kansas City, at Indy, and even the Panthers, who look like they're a pretty good team. Yeah,
and New England.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's – but – we'll see. I think it's going to be an exciting game. I like the over after all that. Tell you what else I like. Texas Mattress Makers. And guys, what they're doing right now, their sixth annual one-for-one bed event. And what that means for the entire month of October, every mattress purchase of $500, they'll donate one bed for a Houston child in need. And guys, there's so many kids in this city that don't have a place to sleep. They don't have a bed. And it's a necessity. And they want to make sure every child has one. And all you have to do is go to Texas Mattress Makers, get one that's $500 or more, boom, done. They're going to donate one. And the great thing is you're going to get a fantastic mattress. You're going to get custom fitted. You're going to save a bunch of money over what you would pay in a retail store. And you're going to be happy when you do it. And you're going to be doing business with great people, and you get to help out a kid. How can you not do it? Go visit my friends at Texas Mattress Makers at 5026 East 3rd Street in Katy. Or you can go to the original 4619 Navigation at the corner with Lockwood and get the best, the bed that's going to fit your body best. Do a great thing all during October. Spend more than $500 and they'll donate a bed for a child to sleep on. Texas Mattress Makers is the best sleep at the best price guaranteed. TexasMattressMakers.com.